not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So help us this morning, Lord. Help us stay on the road and the path of righteousness. And we know there's no better way than your word. For it's very clear that you said that your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it illuminates my path. So, Lord, wherever we are on that path, we need your light and your word. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you again for the gift that you showed Wendy and I. Wendy, some of you don't know that she had excruciating pain in her knee Monday. It's been a problem for 3 months since she had an accident. But Monday was so bad. She's no wimp, but it was on a scale of 9, the pain in her 1 to 10. So we went to the doctor. The doctor sent a specialist. The specialist said, I can fix it Wednesday. So Wednesday we agreed. And so Wendy had arthroscopic surgery. There were bone chips and different things that had to be done. So it was somewhat painful. No, it was very painful. But she's doing better now. So she will actually be here later for another meeting. But just want to let you know, appreciate your prayers. And thank God for each and every one of you. So I've been talking about spiritual warfare. And some of you may have looked at these cards. And by the way, the purpose of these cards aren't really to inform you. They're to inform the empty chair. We want to stay focused on the fact that there are still a lot of empty chairs in this room. And if you'd be so kind as to give these to your friends, give these especially to your enemies, give these to people you do like, especially give them to people you don't like, because your humility will speak to them. Did you all hear that? So it is about warfare. Is this picture exaggerated? We have a man standing on a tank, looks like he's holding some kind of rocket-propelled missile in his hand. You know, is this a little more than what we're really going through? Is this 2008 United States of America? Well, I seem to think it is. I seem to think that we are in a war. We're in a war whether you see it or not. Last week, Phil Chorlian spoke about open our eyes and how the fact that the prophet was right there and the enemy came to capture him and surrounded the city. And his prayer to his servant Gehazi was, Lord, open his eyes. It wasn't, Lord, do this, do that, do the other. It was, Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And this is the reality. The word of God, as I've already prayed, is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And I want to say this morning. Look, we're all on the journey. Some people are actually on a journey trying to find Jesus or pursue Jesus or reason it all out in their mind, but they're still on that journey. And I want to encourage you that, you know, the person who's trying to look towards Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And some people, they're still looking for Jesus, the author, where we're looking for Jesus, the finisher. And we need to be confident with this very thing, as the Galatians says, that he who has begun a good work, he shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But I'll be honest with you, God is more interested in the hungry person that still seems a long way from God than the self-righteous believer that has made his mind up what a Christian should be like. So we don't want those stuffy people around here. I mean, you're welcome to visit us, but we'll challenge you sooner or later and you won't be able to stick around. But the reality is that we do need people who are going to get involved, get stuck in, roll up their sleeves, and who can endure hardship like a good soldier, as the book of Timothy instructs us. And I don't know how to get this across because, you know, most of us are not soldiers. We are coming, of course, to Vets Day, and we will salute and thank God for anybody who's ever served us in the military. We always want to honor you, and we do appreciate everyone who's ever been in the military. But the percentage of us who've actually been in the military is very small compared with those of us that have only ever been civvies. So, therefore, I was trying to think of a way, how can I illustrate what I think a soldier's attitude is like? And that's why I chose this an advert, actually, that I really appreciated from the Olympics. But let's just show it quickly and see what you think of it. But I like it a lot. I just love that commercial. To me, it says it all. You've got pictures of athletes, men with no legs running. You've got cancer patients. You've got people who, in the middle of their effort, fall flat on their face. And all of it is an essential. If you're not prepared to do that, please try something other than Christianity. I've said this before, but Christianity without sacrifice is so boring. It's so lame. Without actually coming into a place of realizing that there's a battle, there's a fight. And the scripture very clearly, it's very clear, it says, you know, the kingdom of God, it suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. And whatever way, any one of you mothers who've stayed up all night with a child that won't stop coughing, that won't stop vomiting, with a child that won't stop crying because it's colicky or whatever it is, you know what it's like to endure hardness like a soldier. Yet when it comes to our Christianity, we give up so easily. I want to say this, I wasn't going to say this, but I just feel every single ministry for Jesus Christ is vital. And I think the people don't take it serious enough that once you've signed up to do something for God, not turning up is not an option. Not turning up is not an option. And I'd really want to encourage you that unless, you know, for some reason you drive off a cliff or something and you can't make it Sunday or Saturday to do your function, I want to encourage you, take serving God seriously. Don't give him your loose change. Give him your first fruits. And, you know, the Bible talks about that we must please him who has enlisted us. And once you've enlisted in the army, there's an expression that we don't like to use in church called dereliction of duty. First World War stuff, put them up against the wall and shoot them. That's what happened if there was a dereliction of duty. And so I want to say this because we are in a war. This week, there's going to be an election. Did anybody know? I didn't know. I don't know whether you've... whether it was responsibly or irresponsibly, I don't particularly want to judge it, but I have purposely, for the last I don't know how many months, ignored every single thing about this election. I made up my mind who I was going to vote for months and months ago and decided I wasn't going to let the media poison my heart in case my man doesn't get elected. So hear me. Next week, I am going to pray and give thanks for our president because the Bible tells me to do it. Whether I voted for him or not is not the point, because we as believers have got to stop being a bigoted people that are making a certain regulation in our own mind of what a believer should be like. Sorry, we can't do that. God is trying to enlarge us. He's trying to demonstrate to us that we are one nation under God. We complain that they're talking about taking it off the money. In God we trust, one nation under God. You know, we don't think one nation under God. We think us and them. Somebody help me. You see, those who disagree with me are not my enemy. Those who don't vote the way I vote are not my enemy. Those who raise their children the way I don't raise my children are not my enemy. My enemy are the forces of darkness. My enemy are the spirits behind everything. It's very clear. If a person can bleed, they're not your enemy. Did you hear that? The spirits, the unseen, we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So therefore, we must stay focused on our enemy. And I just want to warn you, if you don't want to hear me pray next week for a president that you may not agree with, then but trust me, I am going to honor and respect our president, whoever it is. Because I'm a man under authority. Most complainers have never been in a responsible position and don't know what it's like to be under authority. I want to encourage you to think about that. Wonderful people. First scripture. Who we got up there? Young Daniel. We are going to Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. We are talking about warfare. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Last night, this message was aimed mainly at youngsters, probably 25 and under. We had all the front three rows full of youngsters. And I'm saying that to them, listen, young people, you need to receive wisdom and counsel. I don't know, I might be wrong. Maybe there are colleges somewhere around the world that you can get a degree in wisdom, but I'm not sure I know where it is yet. I know you can get a degree in almost everything, but wisdom is not something that is easily just found in a book or in a college. It's something that normally comes with a few experiences of pain. Are we okay? And a few of us have got some, I hope. Next. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. The Lord's counsel, that will stand. So let's remember that as we move on to the next chapter. Chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs, beginning just verse 18. Plans are established by counsel, and by wise counsel wage war. By wise counsel wage war. And too many people, we're not waging war according to wise counsel. Now, I want to just talk about for a moment before we go any further. Oh, maybe we go then to verse, was the next verse on that, Proverbs 20? The glory of young men is their strength. Young men, you're strong. Well done, chap. And the splendor of old men is their gray head. If you guys are getting gray, well done. Oh, I've got a gray hair. Thank God. Don't try and black it out. Live with it. Although, ladies, I think you're exempt from that statement. So, ladies, you do whatever you want to do. You, as long as it's all right with your husband, go for it, girl, you know. Personally, I kind of appreciate having gray hair because it at least proves I've still got some. Gray hair. Listen, we are a church that is focusing on building generationally. We have a lot of confidence in the emerging generation, and we older folks have to invest our time, our energy, and above all else, our wisdom with the emerging generation. I want to say this before we go any further. You must stay relevant. I don't know what you're reading. Young Bob, is Bob here this morning? I haven't noticed. Bob, I knew so who his wife's... No, he's not here. I bet he's got a bow in his hand. He has. So, see, gray hair, figured it out. Bob gave me a book this week to read because he's given it to all his youth leaders called The Barbarian Way. Would I recommend it? Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. It's a quick read. I didn't really need it. I thought I was pretty barbaric, but the point is we need to learn how they're thinking. Let me tell you something. Those of us boomers or older or a little near that age, America is not going back to our day. So doesn't matter how much they try and bring the tie-dye shirt back in, it ain't going to stick. So therefore, remember this. The nation is moving forward at a rate that is almost impossible for boomers to keep up with. And I want to encourage you, older folks, listen to the emerging generation. Listen to them. Listen to the way they talk. Listen to their nonsense. Try and understand why they text instead of making phone calls. Try and understand why it's so important to do these things, that they must walk around with this thing stuck in their ear because they need a sense of importance because they know nobody's really listening to them. So we need to listen to them, folks. We need the young people because we are not going in your direction. This country is not going in the direction of the way it was. Single income, lots of kids. Mum at home wiping hands on her apron, waiting for her husband to come home from work. See? For the CD's sake, I won't tell you who that came from. But Jim, if you need to know, I'll tell you later. Okay, let's just go through this quickly. By wise counsel, wage war. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs, what is it? 24. Through wisdom, a house is built. Not through money, not through education, through wisdom. Listen, am I saying education is wrong? Absolutely not. Education is a wonderful thing. Go for it, okay? I personally think every American, my opinion, should at least do 2 years at community college before you move in. That's my opinion. Unless you're exceptionally, you know, skilled or whatever you're doing. Anyway, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Not stuff. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay, can we see that counsel is a war? It's a battle. It's a fight. The first thing I think we're fighting against in counsel is pride, independence. I know. I don't need to ask you. And a lot of this happens. Some of you know that my favorite program, quiz show that is on often when I'm at the Planet Fitness, of course they've got their own private personal TVs, is Survey Says. I just like Family Feud. And the reason I like Family Feud is it shows me the way the Americans are thinking. For instance, I said this last night, that the survey was, what is the most influential newspapers in America? Number one, New York Times, figures. Number two, Washington Post, makes sense. Number three, LA Times. And number four, they were going, USA Today. It must be, and they were going through them. And the answer was, survey says, National Enquirer. What? Most influential newspapers in America and National Enquirer got a mention? Let alone coming fourth. So you think, okay, maybe I need to watch this and think, try and figure out the way people are thinking these days. And it is a weird thing. And so one of them was 100 women were surveyed and they were asked, what is the number one thing your husband never asks you advice on? There it is, directions. Did you hear it? Well, saying all that to say this.
Squirrel? No, thank you. We're looking for the interstate.
I get that a lot because of the detour.
Oh, now they've lost their way. Now they can't go home.
You sure you don't want one?
We're sure. Thank you.
Oh, they make Cracker Jack pets. I taught this one to shake hands. He's not for sale, though.
Hey, who wants to go home with the nice ladies, huh? Oh, 50, 50. Oh, don't be afraid. I don't bite.
What's your name, pretty lady?
Vera.
Ma'am, really, we're not interested.
Well, I'm not talking to you, Emma. I'm talking to Vera. What about Bucky here? He just loves to climb the trees and eat the nuts.
Ma'am, we do not want a squirrel. Now, do you or do you not know where the interstate is?
Well, of course I do. I'm not retarded.
Tell him about the shortcut.
Oh, thank you, Bucky. I almost forgot. There's a dandy shortcut. It'll bring you right to exit 14. It'll save you 30 miles.
Oh.
Okay, now listen carefully. You want to go straight down here, exactly 1.8 miles.
1.8.
And you make a left at the Totem Pole Ranch. Go 5.4 miles, and you're going to go up a big hill, and you'll see a big yellow sign with some graffiti on it. There's a little dirt road. Take that on the right. It'll take you right to the interstate.
Thank you very much.
Oh, wait a minute. Take some nuts with you, just in case you see a squirrel.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, look. There it is. Totem Pole Ranch. Turn left.
1.8 miles, exactly. All right, squirrel lady.
Okay, we're at 2.4 miles.
There's the yellow sign with the graffiti. Turn right.
I see it.
You see it?
I see it.
Oh, I just love this. This is like a treasure hunt.
Praise God. Okay, what's the moral of the story? You should have bought a squirrel. Or was the moral of the story Psalm 1, verse 1. Daniel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the squirrel lady. The directions were perfect. Oh, you just go up here 1.8 miles and you turn left. And then you go 5.4 miles and you'll see a yellow sign with graffiti on it and turn right there. You see, the directions were perfect. The cliff was not so obvious. And so the conclusion isn't, well, you should have bought a squirrel. The conclusion is, what the heck are you doing talking to a squirrel lady for directions? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, a godly man, a godly woman, whether they agreed with you or not, or you agreed with them or not, would never send you off a cliff. They wouldn't do that. And it's funny how we get a lot of advice on a lot of subjects and a lot of situations in our life. And because the advice is so accurate and the directions seem so right as we go in on our path, looking for fulfillment in life, and we end up going off the cliff and blaming the squirrel lady. Hello? Anybody who, oh, buy me, probably shouldn't have been listened to in the first place. Directions. By wise counsel, wage your own war. Before we go any further, let me say this. Counsel is essential. It says, by counsel, plans are established. By counsel, plans are established. Too many people have made too many decisions, and a lot of them have been in this congregation, where they've asked counsel from the wrong people. And I'm talking about what kind of counsel? Well, I got a list a mile long here. Let's start with a few. Personal achievement. Take personal achievement. Really, that's what life is about. Life is not about me measuring myself against you, you measuring yourself against me. It's against personal achievement. What is it that you believe God wants you to achieve in your life and how are you going to go about it? So obviously, spiritual counsel has got to be number one in your life. Spiritual counsel about the word, about prayer. spiritual counsel, about your accountability. I want to say this, accountability is one of the most important things in life. A lot of people go to church, but they're not in fellowship. A lot of people go to church, but they're not in fellowship. They just go to church and they feel like they're part of it, but there's no accountability. They're not part of a life group. They're not part of a ministry where they're beginning to develop relationship with other spiritual people so that when they do have a problem and they need some counsel, they have some trust relationship built up so that they can draw from that relationship. Character development. Where are you going to go for that? Are we going to just go to some wonderful, get-rich-quick program or some, I don't know where we go these days, the therapists and everything else. We seem to put so much value on their opinion, and half the time we're talking to a squirrel lady. Come on, folks. How about education? Education is an essential thing. Where are you going to get your advice about education? You need to go to somebody, for a start, a believer, a brother, a sister, who has a decent education. And go to that person and ask them, what's it all about? How can I this and that? And not just a case of trying to find out where you can get grants and things, but also, what is the best plan? Should I go to the community college first and save some money there? And are these things... You need to get counsel on these things. I bet most every one of you who've been to college sought counsel on it. It's an essential thing. Let's change from personal achievement to personal relationships. Whether they be platonic, romantic, whether they be familial, whether they be professional or parental. Where are you getting your advice from? Are you getting your advice from what the books say? You remember Dr. Spock? Who's old enough to remember Dr. Spock and his famous book? Well, I heard, I might be wrong, this is not something that, I could obviously qualify, but what he said that on his deathbed, he said, the best thing you can do with my book is hit your child with it. Because we listen to the philosophies of how to raise children when the Bible is very clear on how to do it. And I've said this again and again and again. Young mothers, you have one child. Why are you seeking advice from somebody else who's just had their first baby? What's wrong with this picture? Don't go to somebody who's a rookie when you're a rookie. This is why you have to have old people on teams. This is why Brett Favre isn't just a quarterback. He's somebody who's been through the mill of professional football all the way through, not only not missing a game, not only winning a Super Bowl ring, but also to know what it's like to suffer the ups and downs of the professional game. You need these people. He's also got gray hair. And I want to say this because as a pastor, I'll be honest with you, I'm very tempted to get frustrated. That's an interesting way of putting it. Am I lying? I get very frustrated with people who ask advice from squirrel ladies. I get very frustrated when people are beginning on their life's path with Jesus or their profession or their marriage or raising their children and all they're doing is asking other rookies advice. It doesn't work. Let me give you a biblical example. I'm going to just tell you the quick part and we'll start. All right, let's go through it quickly. 2 Chronicles 10. Start with verse 3 or 4. He's talking about the son of Solomon that took over Israel. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father, his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, come back in 3 days, and the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders. He went to the guys with gray hair. He went to the guys who've thrown a few balls. He went to the guy who has not only won a Super Bowl, but lost a Super Bowl. He went to a guy who's not only thrown a lot of passes, went to a guy who's thrown a lot of interceptions. Sorry, girls, I can't think of a better example, but I'm sure you know what football is. But you get my point. You see, us old guys with gray hair, I've won a few Super Bowl rings in the spiritual things, and I've thrown a bunch of interceptions. And I know what it's like to walk off the field and the other team have the ring, and I don't. And of course, in American culture, we all know that second place is first place loser, which is why we struggle in our culture, because Americans don't value losing. Did you hear that? They don't learn from the defeat. They sulk at their defeat. I wonder if I should have said that. No? Yeah. Next. Have we read this? And they spoke to him saying, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they'll serve you forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders gave him. He rejected the gray hair advice. He did not wage war according to counsel. And he consulted his friends, his peers, his rookies. Next. And he said to them, what advice do you give me? They said, like, no. Next. Then the young men who grew up with him and spoke to him said, ah, you should speak to the people who've spoken you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Next. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as he said. Then the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. My father made you heavy yoke, etc. Next. So the king did not listen to the people, for he turned the events from God that the Lord might fulfill his word. Next. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, they said, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your own tent. Thank you. So here we have the story of the fourth king of Israel, King Saul being the first, who was rejected by God, King David coming in through much persecution, through much victory and failure. Let's face it, David definitely won a Super Bowl ring right there against Goliath, but he definitely failed when he was in a cave for God knows how many months, being chased like a common criminal. And then his son, who came into peace. Now listen to me, I don't know how to get this across without just saying it. I wasn't raised in church, so I understand what a fight is. Many of our children now are being raised in church. They don't know what a fight is. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? And Solomon didn't know what a fight was. He just knew what horses were, money was, and women were. He lived at peace and backslid. And this is one of the dangers of our nation. We are becoming a community of Solomons. That we don't understand the fight. Whether you were a fight in the military or whether you were a fight in any kind of civilian situation where this country went through much struggle to come where it is. But the struggle is over. The time of peace has been with us for 3 or 4 decades, and now we're breeding Solomons. And Solomons breed children that don't listen to the elders, they just listen to each other, and the nation is being led by rookies listening to rookies. Did everybody hear that? Was that clear? It's pretty good. I never thought of it before. But it was good. I thought it was good. Yeah, okay. That was reasonable. Gray hair and all. So here I'm saying, and I can't say it enough. Newlyweds. We had a newlywed banquet here 2 weeks ago. They told me it was pretty good. Guess who did all the talking? Me and Wendy. Because we've been together for 34 years. We have many Super Bowl rings. And we've walked off the field many, many times at failure. We've thrown many interceptions and many off-the-chain brilliant passes. But we've learned how to endure hardness like a good soldier. I've earned my gray hair, and my wife, mind your own business. When it comes to relationships, why do you ask other rookies, especially new marriages and newborn children? I'm telling you, I'm watching a generation of children that are being raised philosophically, not scripturally. And it's wrong. And we will suffer for it. You especially, so you'll be the first partaker of that fruit. Okay, let's quickly talk about money. Who are you going to when you've got some money to invest? Who are you going to if you're going into a business venture? I want to say something here, very important. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Now, that's talking about marriage, but it's not only talking about marriage. You understand the principle? You put a donkey with a camel. If you try and yoke them, how, I don't know. If they begin to walk, sooner or later, long-legged camel is going to outwalk short-legged donkey, and you're going to go round and round in circles. If you're not equally yoked, first of all, in marriage, then you're always going to suffer. Long-term, it's going to fail. When the novelty of the marriage wears off, all you've got left is, are you evenly yoked together in your direction and your vision and your priorities in the kingdom of God? And if you're not, trust me, it won't work. Sooner or later, you'll either get separated or you'll just live together, co-inhabit, be actually emotionally divorced, stay together for the children, and your life ain't worth living. And you've heard me say, and I will say it again and again and probably again, that with all the counsel we have in life, there's two decisions you cannot afford to be wrong in. One, who is your Savior? If there's some guests in here today who you're still seeking the path of truth, I will say this pointedly but as nicely as possible. If you get the decision of who is your Savior wrong, you will go to hell. There is a hell. There is a place of torment, a place of separation from God, and it is eternal, which is why we preach the gospel. So if you get it wrong, who is your Savior, you will go to hell. Two, who is your spouse? If you get that wrong, you'll live in hell. Blessed is the man. Okay, you're going into, what about debt management? Who are you asking about your debt management? Have you signed up for a crown class? We have two crown classes teaching you how to get out of debt so you can live happily ever after. How about risks in borrowing and lending? Who are you asking? Some people go into business ventures and they ask an unbeliever and seek their advice, yet the motives of the heart are both different. This guy is in it for the money. This guy should be in it for the kingdom. So how do you know the vice? Personally, I think you're asking advice of a squirrel lady. Let's another thing. Now, this is one where us pastors can get frustrated because I watch people with their high price spending. With their high price spending, and they're not seeking advice. I'm going to say something now, and I know we're in a situation. Long term, let me say this. The two worst things you can do with your money in life is pay rent and buy a new car. They're the two worst decisions you can make. Find a way to get out of this debt. Listen to godly people. We talk about the tithe in this church. The tithe is 10% of your gross income that comes to the storehouse for the use of the kingdom. Now, if a bank manager would say to you, oh, are you giving to charity? Even PBS, the public broadcasting service on TV, once said, you know, it's important for you to give. It's important for you to give in life. And they were just raising money for the television. But I want to say this. A church, the kingdom of God, is run on the tithe. Everything you see depends on the obedience of the people giving to the tithe to the church for everything. The salaries of the staff, the buildings, the heating, the outreach, everything comes out of that money. And I'll be honest with you, I can stand up here and say, oh, you're not tithing. Well, the Bible says you're robbing God. And then we go to the bank manager and say, well, let me tell you this, old chap, about money. And he's a drunkard, whoremongering, But we listen to him. And he's a squirrel lady. You see my drift? So therefore, we stand boldly and say, listen, if you want to get blessed, burlesed, then you need to do what the book says. In your tithes, in your offering, and your time, and your first fruits. And do that, and you will live well. It's just what the word says. Of course, we can't talk about that because then the pastor's interfering. Tell you what, you won't go off a cliff. High price purchasing. I want to say this. The biggest problem in our culture, and I've got to push this a little bit. The biggest problem in our culture is not how much we earn, it's how much we spend. It's not how much we earn, it's how much we spend. How often a week are you eating out and you can't afford it? How much are you spending on your vacations and we can't afford it? How much are you spending on your cars or your iPods or your... What berries have we got lately? Logan berries. All this must-have stuff and we can't afford it. All of this after church... All the youngsters then on Saturday night, they have to go out to the diner, and most of the time, they can't afford it. And it's something that I'm saying these things, and I'm sure some of you are sitting there going, well, that's a good point, yeah. And tomorrow, you'll eat out. Well, not at Gourmet C, of course, that's closed on Mondays. But what I'm saying is I can afford to eat out whenever I choose, but I'm European, so we don't do it very often. But I want you to hear me. How is your spending? Are you listening to counsel when it comes to your spending? How much are you spending on clothes? If you like clothes, Marshalls has to be your favorite store. And like some people from Texas, Goodwill will be your second favorite store. Now, we've got a few people from Texas here, so you have to figure it out. All right, let's wrap this up. I'm serious. The reason why we have so many, we go into business ventures, we do things, we buy things, and we can't afford it. And it just keeps us in money problems. All right, last two things, health, nutrition, exercise, something that I thought was for wusses. Therefore, I suffered the consequence. I ignored nutrition. I ignore exercise. You've heard of my philosophy, I'm sure. 20-year-olds know they're going to live forever. They're indestructible. And then when they're in their 30s, they still think they're in their 20s. And then when they hit their 40s, they go, ah! It's too late. And they don't do anything about it until they're in their 50s. And then they're in deep kimchi. Who's your doctor? Who's your dentist? There was a time I only ever went to Christian doctors and only ever went to Christian dentists and only ever went to Christian lawyers. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I am surprised how many people I've seen over the years since I've been pastoring have made decisions without seeking godly counsel and it backfires. I don't understand it. Maybe it's a trust issue. We are living in a nation that doesn't trust anymore. We don't trust people of God. The televangelists have blown that for us. They've blown it. We all suffer. All the leadership in the church, we suffer because of what people did in the 80s and the 90s and the way they abused finances and the way they built empires. And I want to encourage you to think about this because I would rather listen to a man or woman of God than a squirrel lady any day of the week, because we're all in a direction that we need help on. You know, I never buy a car without getting three or four opinions from professionals who are all Christian people who work in the car business. I wouldn't dream of buying a house without getting at least four or five opinions. I don't make any major decisions in this church without running it by Rick Calhoun or Phil Chorlian or Phil Strout. Because I believe in counsel. I believe by counsel all plans are established. Some of the smaller decisions I don't run by them, and I'm still a bit hit and miss on them. All right, let's close on the legal stuff. What about lawyers? What are you getting your information about custody, divorce, power of attorney, living wills? All these things are so necessary for us as believers to keep on the path and get, when you're out in the desert somewhere because of a detour, back on the path. Don't ask the squirrel lady. Ask people like me, or the leader of your life group, or call up some of the people in the core team. Make a point of it, saints, I want to tell you. Because over the years, I've seen so many mistakes, and trust me, it hurts. It hurts when I see Christians going down a path, and I know it's not going to work, it's the wrong decision, and I just have to wait here till they come back so they can get on the path again. It's a painful experience, but at least I've learned a lot from it. So let's close on the great scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. I want to begin in verse 3. It's a beautiful thing. And to me, it's so, so, so comforting. It says, "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest." Oh, man, the joy of harvest. "As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you've broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every warrior's sandal and the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." See, we have a counselor. We have a wonderful counselor. And he wants to give you counsel. He wants to talk to you. Turn that off, Daniel. He wants you to understand that whatever situation you have in life, he is there to be your counselor. But I'll be honest with you, many people, we don't spend enough time in his presence to know that voice. That's why God uses the body many times, because it says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Go to God with your problems. Go to your God with your visions, your dreams, and your dilemmas. And when you're stuck out there in the wilderness somewhere and you're on your race, don't stop and ask the squirrel lady. All she's going to do is give you a bag of nuts in the wrong direction. God wants to give you spoils. He wants to divide the spoils of the harvest in your life. The spoils of his harvest he wants to give to you and bring you into a place of richness when you do it his way. Because his counsel will stand. That's what the proverb said. His counsel will stand. The counsel of this world will fail. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that the wisdom of this world will come to nothing. How's that for a promise of God? So that's why I want to encourage you. And as you can see, I can't get it across strong enough. Wage war according to counsel. And I want to say this. It says, by wise counsel, wage your own war. If I give you advice, you make the decision, not me. Did you all get that? It's your life. It's your walk with Jesus. It's your future. Seek counsel and be blessed. Let's stand together. I'd like to take a few minutes this morning to pray for those who feel like those two young ladies in the car, Whoopi Goldberg. Did you see how Whoopi Goldberg was tempted? You know, she said, oh, yeah. Well, she's got a little more gray hair than her daughter, you know. Oh, maybe we should buy a squirrel. And, you know, and if they had bought a squirrel, they would have got the right directions, maybe. But I want to pray for people this morning that you know you've made some bad decisions in your life. You've driven out into the desert like they were. And rather unwisely, you've sought counsel from people who've led you even further out, and your life has crashed. And I want to say something to you. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful counselor. And I want to pray this morning for those who want us to go to the next place in wisdom, the next place in counsel. You have decisions before you, some of them relational. Some of you have got plans of marriage. Some of you have got plans of business. Some of you got plans of education or ministry. And I want to just pray for you this morning. I think I'd like any members of the core team that are here to come forward and pray for you. But we're just going to quietly spend some time in the presence of God this morning. Yesterday we had all the young people up here and we blessed them. And there was a tremendous time in the presence of God. So I want to encourage you now. Come forward. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you in the situations that you're in. Pray for you because we've got to deal with the guilt of a bad decision. Can you hear me this morning? We've got to deal with the shame of a wrong decision, of driving off into the wilderness and can't find your way back on the path. Don't be ashamed of it. Jesus has given us an answer. Jesus has given us a solution. So just keep coming forward. Thank you, Lord. I know there's a lot more that need prayer this morning. We just want to, the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely. Don't block them. Thank you, Jesus. And of course, if anybody has anything else, you have a sickness, you have something really serious. I know, of course, there's one or two members of our congregation that are battling serious diseases. We want to pray for you as well. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Father, I just want to thank you for my brothers and sisters. I want to thank you, Lord, that we want to be people who do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but we start to walk in the wisdom and counsel of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the Son has been freely given to us all. Let's pray together. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day, and that I trust your government. I trust your wisdom. I trust your counsel. And Father, help me on my path. Lead me with your word. Guide me through prayer. Encourage me in all things. And Father, I acknowledge you as my Savior, that Jesus died that I may have life. Father, I thank you for the new birth, the gift of life, and a new beginning every day. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that need to go, please, you're welcome.